that when I finally get to those passages, I have to spend a little extra time studying just because I might have had a little bit of understanding, but I knew I needed a better understanding. And we're at one of those sections. Hebrews 6 is considered by some, and that's where we're really going to start. I'm just going to review a little bit about 5 and then go into chapter 6. But Hebrews chapter 6 is known by many as, some would call it, the hardest chapter of the Bible. It's not really that hard. It's just that it's a matter of faith and not a matter of brains to understand it. And sometimes when people believe the wrong way and they come to the verse, it doesn't match their faith, and so they got a, it's a hard verse. Well, if they would just change what they believe and believe what the verse says, it wouldn't be so hard. And you're going to see that. But there are some things in the passage that that puzzle me, that make me think twice about. And we'll look at some of those from the very beginning of chapter 6. But in the, at the end of chapter 5, let me remind you of where we ended up last week. And we were going to pick up a topic of this week. There was some discussion at the end, and we said we'd pick it up this week, but unless those people come in, we won't pick it up. But in chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Of whom we have many things to say." The "of whom," I should read from verse 10. Chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek." And that's a reference to Jesus Christ. And the, one of the main points of the book of Hebrews is to teach us about the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And he is a high priest, but now the attention is given to us, that the information is given to us that he's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, that's not something that's ever explained, or something hinted about that in the Bible, but never explained. And so the writer of Hebrews desires to explain it. And so he says in verse 11, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing." And it's not so much that he can't say it and can't teach it, because it's hard for him. No, it's not hard for him. It's hard for him to communicate it to people who don't have ears that are sharp enough to hear it, that are skilled enough to hear it. He says it's hard to be uttered because ye are dull of hearing. "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become as such as having need of milk, and not of strong meat." Now, that's the problem with their dull of hearing. The Hebrew people, the nation of Israel, at this point in history, should have taken off and been the people that God wanted them to be. We're at a point in history where the nation of Israel, it was time for them to teach the nations. But they bragged about being teachers of the Gentiles, according to Romans chapter 2. But they couldn't teach a Gentile anything because they were dull of hearing themselves. They haven't even themselves understood all that God had done for them. And so this writer is going to have to inform them and bring them, as he's going to say later in chapter 6, verse 1, onto perfection. But according to verse 12, that at this point of history, the nation of Israel should have been the teachers that God called them to be. That would have been one of their duties as a kingdom of priests. That's one of the reasons that God separated Israel out and made them a nation and gave them the oracles of God, so that they someday would be a witness and a testimony to the nations. And part of the Great Commission is go to all the world and teach all nations. Well, he can't do that yet because they're dull of hearing. They haven't heard everything that God wants them to hear. They're not able to be teachers. In fact, according to verse 12, instead of being teachers, it says, "Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." And concerning that, it says, "And are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." He said, I want to teach you something that's a little bit deeper in truth. But you, when you should have been teachers, you've gone backwards, and someone's got to teach you first before you can be a teacher. And not only would they got to go back and teach you, they're going to have to use milk to teach you because you're so dull of hearing. And he explains then what the difference is of what should have brought them to the place of being a teacher and why it is that they're dull of hearing. Verse 13 says, "For everyone that uses milk," and that's what they needed, "is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." unskillful. He's not experienced. He don't know how to handle the Bible. You say, turn to the book of Obadiah, and he can't find it. He's unskilled in Bible study. Now, it's not just looking up a book, you understand. But the point is that the reason they need milk is they're unskilled. They're dull of hearing, and they haven't been handling the Word of God. They haven't been studying the Word of God. And so someone's got to go back and teach them again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. It says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat, and this, when he gets into this Melchizedek priesthood of Christ, this is what going to be strong meat. And that's why he can't teach it right now. But he says, but strong meat belongeth to them which are of full age, even, now here's what full age means, even two things agree, right? They're going to come together. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That is, to be skilled in the Bible and to so that you have a sense, a biblical sense working in you, that you can discern something that's, hey, that's right on, that's in Scripture. Or you discern that, wait a minute, that's contrary to God's Word, that isn't right. The only way you could ever get that way is what it says there is strong meat belongeth to those that are full age, even to those who by reason of use. There's no other way to get built up and skilled in the word of righteousness except using the Bible. And I probably said it last week at the close, that to me, when I've told people read their Bible through year after year, And sometimes you think that might get a little bit monotonous, but those who have done it, in the fifth year that they read it through, they'll all of a sudden anticipate what's coming up. But they'll not just know the stories. All of a sudden there seems to be an ability to see a spiritual lesson that God would have you to know. This year in reading through, I am jotting down in the margin of my notes. I got notes about witnessing in the Old Testament. The attitude of people, what causes people not to understand truth. These things are all planted in there. And as you read God's Word, you know, just to learn the stories is the first thing. But then you start learning the wisdom that's in the story. And you begin to see more in depth about the character of man, the character of God, and of course the truths of God. I've always said the reason people do not understand right division is they have no idea about the kingdom that's been promised in the Old Testament. Ever since Genesis 1-2, God started talking about His purpose for the earth. And He never deviated from it all the way through the Old Testament. And then you show up with John the Baptist and Jesus Christ preaching the kingdom of heaven's at hand, and most Christians have no idea what that's about. That's perhaps because when they got saved, someone handed them a New Testament Bible and said, here, start reading the Bible. But that's, you already missed three quarters of the Bible by the time you start with the New Testament. They weren't skilled at all in the word of righteousness, so that when they come across these terms, the gospel of the kingdom, they would know what it's about. They're unskilled in the sense that when the first verse of the New Testament calls Jesus Christ the son of David, the son of Abraham, that they don't know the significance of that, why that's important. Now they probably don't even know who those two people are, what God's promise was to those people, and how that's fulfilled in Christ. And so it's only by use, only by reading can you be that skilled in righteousness so that you can discern as you go through God's Word what is right and what isn't. So picking up there in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and a faith toward God, or the doctrine of baptisms, and I'm going to put dot, dot, dot there because I'm not ready to go on with that yet. The first thing is last week when I was talking out of verse 12, I made the statement that where it says that one teach you again what be the first principles of the oracles of God, I see a threefold outline that's going to develop here concerning what God would have Jewish people to know. And what I was saying, that the first principles of the oracles of God, would be that the fact of first, you're starting with the very beginning things. Principle has to do with the elementary basic teaching. And oracles of God would then be what we've searched Scripture and saw how it's a reference to the law. Basically, it just means the utterance of God, what God has said. So what they needed someone to go back and teach them was called what I would say was the very first things that God basically began to tell the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. And there's an example of that right here. Now we read this, so I'm going to do it again so you can see where I'm going. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. And notice this statement, and notice this is just general Old Testament truth that these people needed someone to teach them again. It says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmities. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto him, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." Now we've studied that, but that's all basic truth about who the priesthood is. No man calls himself to be a priest. God has called him to be a priest. He's got to offer sacrifices for himself, reminding himself that he's a sinner so he can have compassion on the people that come to him. That information there is just Old Testament truth, basic Old Testament truth under the law that's reiterated for them to understand. Now watch how chapter 6 begins. It says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ," or the doctrine of Christ, "let us go on to perfection." Now, in verse 12 of chapter 5, you got the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, that makes me stop and say, well, if there's the first principles of the oracles of God, are there second? If there's the beginning things that God basically told Israel in the Old Testament, then is there something else that was added later? Well, sure enough, when you get to chapter 6, verse 1, when it says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ," that's not the same as the first principles of the oracles of God. Now we're going beyond basic preaching of the Old Testament, things that were taught in the Old Testament, and we're taking it up to a time of Christ, but this author wants to go beyond the time of Christ onto something else that's going to bring them to perfection. Almost like three stages of growth that he has for these people to understand. Now, in chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, those would be the first principles of the oracles of God, or an example of it. But then, what does that lead us to? Well, look at verse 5. "So also Christ glorified him not himself," I'm back in chapter 5, verse 5, "so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that saith unto him, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, as also he said in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now you see what he's doing? He's going to take that general information in verses 1 through 4 that be the first principles of the oracles of God and take that and build them an understanding of who Christ is. And how do we know who Christ is? Well, he's quoting Old Testament passages that if they were skilled, they would say, that's right. God did say, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. God did say, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Just understanding that would then bring them from the Old Testament up to the time of Jesus Christ. And then this writer now wants to take them from the time of who Jesus Christ is, the doctrines of Christ, of who he is, into a little bit further understanding of the work that Jesus Christ accomplished for the nation of Israel. That's where the book of Hebrews is going to go. It's going to explain in detail not just who Christ is. That's already been taught. Now he wants to show the work of Jesus Christ in behalf of the nation of Israel as a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And so when I look at that, I see the first principles of the oracles of God. Now leaving the doctrines of Christ, but he's going to first, before he leaves it, he's going to reiterate those doctrines in the first few verses of chapter 6. And then when you get to chapter 7, then he begins with, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God," then he's going to teach you those deeper things about the priestly position of Jesus Christ, and then he's going to take you through the sacrifices, and show you more of what Christ accomplished, he's going to do what it says in chapter 6, verse 1, take them on to perfection. So that's why I see a pattern here of where the writer is going. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 again says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now, the doctrines of Christ seem to be different than the first principles of the oracles of God. The doctrines of Christ have to do with the identity of Christ, the fact of who Jesus Christ is. Now, there's two ways always to look at the word of. In this one, I'm a little bit confused on which way. I kind of teach it both ways. The of could be the principles of the doctrines of Christ. Principles would then be the first teachings of the doctrines of Christ. It would either refer to what Jesus Christ himself taught, or it would refer to the teaching of Jesus Christ himself. And that is the theme of the New Testament leading up to Jesus Christ, or the early ministry of the apostles and Jesus Christ himself was identifying who Jesus Christ is. The very emphasis of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even in the early part of the book of Acts, is getting the nation of Israel to understand that Jesus is the Christ. The great profession of Peter in Matthew 16, verse 18, was that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The miracles and all that Jesus Christ did was to identify himself as the Messiah of Israel. And the writer of Hebrews wants to go beyond that, but before he does, he reiterates those teachings to make sure that everybody has come that far. First, back from the Old Testament, and then up to the time of Christ and the teaching of who Jesus Christ is, and then also the things that Jesus Christ taught. But the fact that Jesus is the Christ is the emphasis. It's the very theme of the book of John, John chapter 20, is the key to the book of John. And I think we've said this before, that John 3:16, the verse that everyone wants to use for the plan of salvation, when it talks about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, that doesn't mean to believe that he died on the cross for your sins. And the reason I know that is because John chapter 20 is going to tell me the reason John wrote everything he wrote in the book of John. And it says in verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John wrote the book of John not to tell about the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ, but to identify who Jesus Christ is. The eight miracles that are written in the book of John identify the fact that Jesus is the Christ, and that he is the Messiah of Israel, and that Israel's to look to him for salvation. And to believe in John 3:16 is not to believe in the cross of Christ, but to believe who Jesus is, that he is the Christ. Again, that's the whole purpose, the emphasis of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then in Acts. Look at Acts chapter 2. Look at Peter's preaching at Pentecost and the emphasis of his preaching. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Peter says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So Peter addresses the nation of Israel and points them back to Jesus of Nazareth, the miracles that he did, and the fact that God raised him from the dead. His whole point, he gets down to verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed this, which ye now see and hear. That is the Holy Spirit and the men speaking in tongues as they're filled with the Spirit. It's all done by Christ. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he himself said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So the emphasis of Peter's preaching to the nation of Israel and talking about the miracles and the resurrection of Christ, the ascension, even the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, identifies the fact that Jesus is the Christ. So the writer of Hebrews wants to go beyond those first principles of the doctrines of Christ to teach some other things about the work of Jesus Christ. But first, he goes and reiterates. Go back to Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll cover this next time, but just to look at what he's going to reiterate, it's not just who Jesus Christ is, that Jesus is the Christ, but also some of the things that Jesus Christ himself taught in his earthly ministry. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Now, it says, not laying again the foundation. So there's already been a foundation laid, and the foundation is the teaching of who Jesus is, that he is the Christ, and what the Christ is going to accomplish as far as the kingdom program and the importance of faith in Christ. So the writer doesn't want to go back and lay again the foundation that's already been laid, that foundation of the doctrines of Christ. And so he doesn't want to go back, it says, and lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Repentance is the ministry of John the Baptist. We'll look at it in detail another time, but just think of those things. And of faith toward God, which is the positive aspect of repentance, of believing the things that God has said in his word concerning his son, of the doctrine of baptisms. Old Testament baptisms make it plural, but also the baptisms that were taught first by John the Baptist, and then John the Baptist said Jesus Christ would come and baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He doesn't want to go back over those issues anymore. He says, resurrection of the dead, and that's the promise of resurrection that Christ had taught. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. It says, and of eternal judgment. And no one taught about eternal judgment like Jesus Christ did. Those things were not only, they're the first principles, not only who Jesus Christ is, but the things that he taught. And this we do if God permit. And then we'll get into whether God permits him to do that and why he wouldn't permit him to do that. But those doctrines are the doctrines that he wants to leave and go on to perfection, to a more mature teaching about the work of Jesus Christ, not going back and laying again the foundation that was laid in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but to build on the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished in the cross. So that's where the writer is going to go. And those basically, if I haven't made it clear yet, the three building blocks for a Jewish person, three foundational teaching that a Jewish saint needs to go through in order to be established. First, they have to be established in basic Old Testament teaching, which would take them from into the law and into the priesthood of the Old Testament. Then the next thing, which according to chapter 5, is the first principles of the oracles of God. That's the Old Testament teaching. Then the writer wants to take them from the second thing, which is the first principles of the oracles of God. That's the second building block for a Jewish saint. The instruction about Jesus and who he is, identifying him as the Christ, and as the Christ, the things that he taught them that are the basic principles for them to have been established in that are laid out in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then he wants to take them on to perfection, which is the teaching of the priesthood of Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of all of Israel's types that are in the Old Testament, the fulfillment of Israel's final and full sacrifice of sin, the perfect temple and the perfect blood that was sacrificed for them, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as he does that as a priest for the nation of Israel to purify them and to bring about their salvation and forgiveness and eternal life. So he's going to talk about the work of Christ. Those are the three building blocks, establishment of a kingdom saint. And I say that because we have a building block too, and it's a different order than what God has given to Israel. Romans 16 in verse 25, Paul writes this to us, and there's three building blocks to us. It says, "Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to, number one, my gospel." And, so it's number two, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And, so here comes number three, by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for obedience of faith. In the age of grace, the three building blocks to the establishment of us in the age of grace is first to know Paul's gospel, then it is to know Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret but now is made known. That is, to preach Jesus Christ not according to prophecy, but according to what God is accomplishing in the age of grace, in forming the body of Christ that was never known before. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to what God is accomplishing through Christ today. That's the second thing that's able to establish us. And then the third thing is, after you're established in the gospel, and then you're established in Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, then you can go to the scriptures of the prophets and read them and gain instruction and learn doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness without being confused and getting confused about what your doctrine is and what your instructions are and what your promises are. Once you're established in the true gospel of the grace of God for this age and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, then you can go to the scriptures of the prophets and glean all the things that God would have us to glean. That's the opposite of the nation of Israel. They start out with the Old Testament prophets, the things that God taught in the Old Testament. Then they move forward into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and learn the first principles of the doctrines of Christ. And after they get that, then they can move ahead into the book of Hebrews and learn about the priestly work of Jesus Christ, the accomplishments that were made for them on the cross of Christ and in his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's where the author of the book of Hebrews is going. So we'll pick up next week with the exactly looking at some things about what it means to go on to perfection, and look again real closely at those doctrines that we're going to leave and why it is that some can't leave it, but some can leave it and go on to perfection. That's it. All right, let's close in prayer. Our God and our Father, we do pray as we study the book of Hebrews that we won't be confused in truths that belong to the nation of Israel, but Father, may we realize that you have a perfect plan and a perfect order in order to establish them, and may we turn to Paul's epistles and understand your establishment for us. We do realize, Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection is the very means by which you can bring life to anyone, and as we study the book of Hebrews, may we go on to perfection and understanding the full accomplishment of Jesus Christ, even explained in Hebrew terms, that we might glorify you through your Son more and more. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.